Well, good evening. I would very much appreciate your prayers. The Lord's been talking to me, and I'd like to be faithful to Him and give you what He gave me. And we've been hearing in this meeting some of the benefits of salvation, haven't we? And some of the things that we've already been talking about, and how good it is. Can't take it away. So what is it? I'd like to write that on the board. I feel very needy here tonight, and I would really appreciate your prayers. I'd like to go to the third chapter of the book of Acts. And pretty familiar story. Peter and John were going into the temple and met a lame man. And the man, we know the story. Man stopped and asked for a lot less than he thought he would possibly be able to receive. And Peter said, I don't have any of that with me. Don't have any money with me. But I'm going to give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he did that. And when he did, it said that the people ran together. They didn't know what was going on. They saw this man leaping and shouting, praising God. And I'd like to pick up what Peter told them in about the 12th verse. Says, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Excuse me, before I forget, they've asked us to give our names. I'm Joseph Gellenbeck. I'm from Kentucky. And so probably most of you know me, maybe a few don't. But I'd like to keep reading here. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And His name through faith in His name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Listen to what he said to him. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I don't know if they had ever heard language quite like that before. There were people there that, and well, John the Baptist had used some language like that, and I think Jesus even used some language like that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But they were people that were so full of the idea that they were the spiritual pinnacle in the earth. People that had to understand all the understanding about the contact with God, all the prophecies they had them, and Jesus tried to talk to them. They said, we be children of Abraham. And Jesus looked right back at him and he said, You're of your father the devil, because you're doing the works of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And so I don't want to get into a deep theological discourse this evening. There are a bunch of things we're going to skip. Probably won't mention much about baptism. Well, there's several things I'm not going to mention. But I would like for us to have a very basic understanding of what salvation is and what it does for us. Because I know that it's the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life. I'm not the person I used to be. And that's kind of the crux of where I want to get to tonight. Are you happy with where you are tonight? You can be thinking about that. You know, Jesus came, and we won't turn there, but in Romans 5 and 12, it says, I'm just going to read a couple scriptures to you. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans, if you back up to the Romans chapter 3, again, I'll just go ahead and read it. For all, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. I'd like to pick up another story in the book of John. Nicodemus was one, I believe he was one of the Sanhedrin, was he not? One of the 70 or 72 elders in Israel that came. And he had, you know, Jesus did not convince people like you and I try to convince people of things. When he dealt with them, he knew exactly what they were thinking. He addressed the very deepest needs of their heart. When he came to the fishermen and he said, follow me, it wasn't the same as if I would just point to you and say, follow me. There were dealings that we don't even see. That's the kind of dealings Jesus had with people. Well, Nicodemus saw him, and he came to Jesus by night, and he said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. And I've wondered at the motivation, what was behind what he said. I don't know if he was kind of trying to give himself some credentials there by saying, look, I'm one of the... I accept you. I accept who you are. I'm willing to believe that you are somebody that's not a demon, as some have said, don't have a demon and all that. I'm one of the rulers of Israel. I'm willing to consider in my mind that you're almost like saying, you have my permission to talk to me. And Jesus turned everything on its head. He said, you must be born again. And in the third verse, John 3 and 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And it goes on, but he said, you must be born again. All of the goodness that you think you have, all of the traditions and the culture. You know, the Jews had a very established, distinct culture. Do you know that we in this group have a very established, distinct culture as well? I see a lot today about... You know, people want to be good. They do. People that don't have any profession at all of Christianity, they want to have some sense of morality, some sense of decency and fairness about them. I work with people all the time that do that, and they'll be merciful, and they'll try to be honest when they can, and do those kind of things, and you see... you see signs and things in the yard people's yards of campaigns of all kinds of things. And it has to do with a cause that people, it's the high road. They feel like they're taking the high road. Do you know that you cannot be good enough to be a Christian on your own? I feel like that sometimes... And I'm going to address us. These words right now are maybe more to people that have just been around here and been raised here. I believe it's good to teach your children, don't lie. Don't cheat. Be obedient. Be hardworking. Be industrious. Be responsible. All of those ethics. Be merciful. Be kind. Be fair. Don't be a poor loser. All of those kind of things. How many times have you said that to your children? Do you know that I believe that if we're not careful, that we can grow up kind of being assimilated into that kind of culture and think, well, what do I need to be saved from? And maybe we can feel like that we're already a pretty good person. And we've kind of been raised, you know, don't do all these bad sins and all that. You know, that's kind of the person that I was. I acted out. There's probably a lot of older ones here that can tell you stories about how I behaved on the campground and other places. But I didn't steal and I didn't get involved into what you call deep sin. But the psalmist said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I want to tell you tonight that you in yourself, can have the self-control to be nice to another person. You can be civil. You can look at a deal and you can be fair. You can bite your tongue. But I want to tell you a few things that you can't do. You can't love somebody in your heart with the love of God. You know how I know that? Because all the campaigns that are in the world about... I don't really want to get into all the specifics, but you can follow. There are campaigns of supposed morality that we're supposed to accept this, love this, tolerate this. How many of them's top focus is to get somebody to heaven? Somebody else to heaven. If I see somebody wrapped up in total, complete darkness, in sin, and all I ever have to say to them, now you have to have opportunities, all right? The Lord has to give you opportunities. You can't go to somebody and say, I'm going to hell and I love you and you know it because I just told you where you're going. You can't do it like that. But the Lord will give you opportunities. But if you go and... You go to everyone else that's in these kind of things and you say, I accept you just the way you are. I accept this, whatever lifestyle you're living, I accept it just the way it is. That's not love either. I'd like to speak just a little bit more about good works. You know that there are a lot of people. I have talked to people. I was talking to somebody that was wanting to do business with me one time. And he made the remark in the course of the conversation. He said, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And he wasn't a good person. And there are a lot of people that feel like that what I'm doing, maybe I've been raised. Do you know that you can be raised right here among some really good teachings, and you can dress the part, and you can act the part, and you can learn all the bad words and avoid them, whatever they are. You know what I'm talking about. You can learn different doctrines and say, this is what I believe. You can give money. You can come down, put money in every time that there's that they take up an offering. Maybe some of that, the Lord will use that to send somebody to Africa or whatever. But that's not salvation. It's far from it. I want to tell you, I'm just going to tell you my own testimony just a little bit. I didn't go out into deep sin. I didn't do those things. But my life was absolutely wretched. Because there were battles in my heart, I couldn't fight them. I didn't have victory inside. I had problems in there that nobody knew about. At least that's what I kind of thought. I know some of it came out and all that. But there were things And that's just one thing. We're going to get to a few other things here in a minute. You ever... I'm thinking of the scripture about Jesus when he said, it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes back. If you read back where it's talking about in the days of Noah, people were, it said that the imagination of every thought of the heart was only evil continually. Do you think that every person back there was doing constantly all the bad that they could think of? All the time? I don't. I think that it was probably very similar to a lot of the way a lot of people live their lives today. Where they had a system of morality, a system of fairness, a house that they built themselves of self-righteousness. Where they said, if I do this and I do this, I'm a good person. Don't need anything else. And all that stuff about the Garden of Eden and all that, I don't need that. I've got my own, you know, I don't do this, I don't do that. I want to tell you that I have worked with many people. And I've kind of gotten crossways with a few of them because, Christians aren't supposed to lie, right? Not supposed to be dishonest, not supposed to cheat. And there's been a few times where I've had to stand up and say, you know what? I can't do that. I just can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be contentious, not trying to cause trouble, but sir, I can't do that. And a few times I've said, you know, I believe we need to tell the truth. And in those, there's a defense that rises up so quick. Well, oh yeah, I do. I won't lie either. Well, wait a minute. And they've got a system of honesty. You know that pretty much, I've talked to a lot of people, and they'll say, yeah, I believe we need to be honest. We need to be fair in our dealings. We need to be straightforward. And they'll talk about somebody else and say, well, they weren't honest. And then I'll go do business with them, and they'll fudge this and shade this and twist this. Why are you doing that? Oh, well, I mean, you know, you can't get anything done if you don't do it this way. And if I ever happen to say, well, that's not honest, and I haven't really ever come out, at least very few times, if ever, and said, well, that's dishonest. I mean, you want to do things in a good spirit, but the times that I have happened to push back in any way, they get all defensive about it. Well, that's not dishonest. I've heard people say, well, that's not a lie. That's a little fib. I mean, that's like, come on. Can't you tell the difference? That's any other system. You know what phrase of song has been running through my mind all this summer and in the spring? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground. All other ground is sinking sand. Any house of morality that you can build for yourself, any system of traditions, rules, culture, whatever you can come up with, if you've been raised where you know all the different the ways of morality and you know how to behave yourself, whether in the house of God or around other people or whatever, that's not salvation. So if we go to Luke, the 7th chapter, read about a woman that came to Jesus. And Luke 7, 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, talking about Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. And there was a man there, the one that had invited Jesus, I believe. And he looked and he said in his heart, if Jesus knew, if this man were really of God, he wouldn't let this woman come anywhere near him because she's a sinner. If he knew what kind of woman this was. And then he said, I've got something to say to you. And we won't read it all for the sake of time, but down in the 47th verse, he said, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Remember the story in John chapter 9, we won't turn there, but Jesus healed a blind man that had been blind from his birth. And the Pharisees came to him after they had spent a long time arguing with this man. You know why they really were arguing with him? Because they had some accountability there and they were trying to hide it. And they came to Jesus later and they said, so are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. You know that the first step, well, it's not the first step, but it's the first step on your part. You see, God is the initiator of all of these things. And He comes and He approaches us and He begins talking and dealing and working. And many times this happens for a long period of time. And I believe that this had been happening with this woman that came to the house of Simon. You know, the first step for salvation is to recognize who I really am. Yes. And what I've done. And in Matthew 3:8, it says, bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance. I've heard that Brother Hargrave used to say that some people come down to the altar in a chariot. You need to be coming down slithering like a snake. I believe that's what he said. Am I correct on that? Isn't that something like what he used to say? I'd like to read to you a scripture. Well, before I do that, I'll tell you what Zacchaeus did. And Zacchaeus stood, in Luke 19:8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. He wasn't doing this for any kind of accolade. He wasn't doing it for self-promotion. But he came to a realization, probably pretty similar to the sentiment Jesus expressed when he said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Says that Zacchaeus was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. That means that he was probably a pretty shrewd businessman. Those guys were pretty cutthroat, and they dog eat dog, and they it was quite a something what they would do. And I don't know all of what they would do, but it was something that, and it said Zacchaeus was a little man, so he didn't get there by his fists. Probably got there by shrewd brain and cunning, craftiness and all of that. But he was rich. He had everything. But Jesus came and he realized, and I don't know what Jesus said to him during the course of the meal, what he heard him say. I don't know what the Lord said to him in his heart, but he came to a realization, I'm not as rich as I thought I was. I'm not as good as I thought I was. Yeah. You know, that's the very first step for salvation, on our part anyway. A lot of times I think that we've got this image that we want to preserve. And we try to preserve it even if we come walking down to this altar We kind of want to smooth it all out and roll it all into just one smooth narrative where nothing really happened. And yeah, well, I had a need and went down to the altar and everything's cool and I got it all fixed up and everything. The Lord's helping me, and just like He's always been helping me, and we have this test. You know that sometimes we need to burn a few bridges. And we need to say, I was a wretch. Zach stood up. And you know, he didn't even stand up. There's not a certain process. You don't have to shed so many tears. And you don't have to cry to the Lord in a certain kind of voice or work up this kind of emotion. You got to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. What does that look to you? I don't know, but I'm going to just put the ingredients there and may the Lord talk to you about it. He said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." You know, I have an idea that the reason he said half was because he knew he was going to need the other half to be making some wrongs right. I doubt he had a whole lot of money in the bank when he was done, but he had something down deep in his soul that was worth more than all the cheating and all the slick deals that he had been made, being able to get to the top above all the other. You know, some people are really able to get to the top in this life. They can out-argue, out-debate anybody. They're smart, they're shrewd, they're crafty. That only lasts for so long. And Zacchaeus came to that realization. And what did Jesus say? "This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." That's why Jesus was walking down that road that day. That's why he looked up in the tree where Zacchaeus was and said, "Zacchaeus," because he already knew what was in his heart. "Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house." But when he left that afternoon, he didn't just leave and walk out of Zacchaeus' heart life forever. Zacchaeus was a changed man. What's the scripture say? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So that begs the question, why? Why, if you realize a need in your soul, why would you want to hold on to any kind of image of who you were in the past? I'd like to go to Mark the 10th chapter. Talk about another blind man named Bartimaeus. Mark 10 and 46. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho," talking about Jesus again, "with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" You see, he wasn't maybe sick with sin. I don't know exactly what condition his soul was in, but he was blind. That's a pretty tough place to be in, isn't it? You'd get pretty desperate if somebody was walking. What would you think? They tried to get him to be quiet. You think he was about to be quiet? He said, "Be quiet, be quiet." And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged them that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they call the blind man, and saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And so he came to Jesus, and how did he do it? You know, the beggars back then, I did a little bit of research on this, and they would have, it said, he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. They would have this kind of a all-purpose, multi-purpose garment that they would wear, And then they would put it on the ground, sort of like a blanket, and they would sit on it, and it was associated with their identity, which was begging. And then they'd have a little cup, they'd put that on the ground, and they would rely on the mercy of the passersby to throw a little something into it. Pretty wretched life, it looks like to me. Well, he had an opportunity, and we've heard about opportunity in this meeting this morning. Jesus came walking by on the road. And I want you to put yourself in the place of Bartimaeus. And if Jesus were to pass by you, what would you say to him? Would you even have the nerve to call out in the way that he did? He messed up everything. I don't know what the word is. I have trouble thinking of the right word sometimes when I'm up here, but it just didn't flow. He started crying out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me," because he knew that if Jesus passed by, he'd still be blind. And Jesus came, stood still, and commanded him to be called. And he, casting away his garment, rose. I want to tell you, this man had a vision. This man had a vision of what Jesus could do for him. He went, you know, seems like that he might have been worried a little bit about what would happen to his stuff. But he threw it all aside. I can just imagine his thoughts. People saying, be quiet, you're disturbing the peace. Oh no, I don't need this garment anymore. Don't need my money cup. Do you understand what I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to receive my sight. I can get a job. I'm going to get married. I'm going to go do all the things that my friends have done. I'm going to be able to be a real person in life. You know that there are people, and I just want to say, if you have an affliction like that, blind or whatever, you are a real person and you matter and everything. But do you understand the comparison I'm making? I was blind and now I see. I'm blind. I have the opportunity to do something to be in a place I've never been in before. Something I don't need to beg anymore. I don't need my garment anymore. I don't need any of these things anymore. Jesus, I don't care who hears me. I don't care what people think about it. And Jesus said, "Well, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Well, why would he ask a question like that? You know, if he would have been a little bit worried about his self-image, and who, you know, he didn't beat around the bush. He didn't say, "Well, I just need, I tell you what, I was just thinking, I have a little bit of a, just a little bit of a need in my life, and I'd just like you to put your hands on me and bless me." No. He said, "I'm blind. I can't see. I want to receive my sight. I want to be able to do everything that my friends have done. I want to do all this." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." I want to tell you something tonight. I believe that too many of us, well, I don't want to put it like that. Too many people try to live a real good life. And they try to maintain an image of a real good person. And they don't even know what real Bible salvation is. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do to you?" You know, there is not a person here that has enough reasoning power to get through life and take all the right turns. Salvation puts you in contact with God. And He starts you on a journey of being led. You know, when I say salvation, I believe in two works of grace, but the plan of salvation covers justification and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you can just consider that the complete package of salvation tonight. I would hate to even try to live a life of just trying to be good and follow all the quote-unquote rules without being connected to the one who it's all about. He's answered. I need my prayers to be answered. I need direction. I need to know how to raise my children. I need to know all kinds of things. You know, I've wanted to ask people before, people that try to live a good life, but yet don't have any profession, and maybe you know for a fact that they don't. Maybe they've said that they don't. I'm not talking about just looking at somebody and saying, well, they can't be saved, because we need to be careful about that. But I've wanted to ask people, how do you do it? How do you even live? Don't you know what salvation can do for you? You know, maybe Bartimaeus, maybe he had never been able to see. Maybe, I don't know. But him and the man in John chapter 9, I know the man in John chapter 9 had never been able to see, but he realized, and he didn't even know what all the benefits were going to be, but he knew it was going to be a whole lot better than what he had. And so I'd like to appeal to you tonight. I don't really know why the Lord gave me this message or who He gave it for, but try it and see. Give yourself to the Master, to the Lord. You'll find it works a whole lot better for you. You'd be wondering what to do the next day. You can go to Jesus and say, Lord, show me what decision to make. You pray for me. I want to be faithful. May the Lord help us.